Hey kids, welcome back to the next episode of the Incredible Kids Podcast. My name is Moritz Siri, and I will be your host through this incredible journey. We are going to meet many incredible kids. They are going to share with us their stories. Some of them super cool and different like you've never heard before, and some you may say are just ordinary, but all of them incredible. If you have great ideas, email me today at ikidspodcast@gmail.com. And now it's time for
Incredible Kids.
It's time for the joke of the day.
Yay!
Today's joke is brought to you by Dovey B from Teaneck, New Jersey.
What do you call a fish with no eye? A fsh.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the next episode of the Incredible Kids Podcast. This episode is made possible by Winterwood Florals and Yidflix, and a special thank you to 7 Mile Market in Baltimore for sponsoring a beautiful banner across the store, which is attracting a lot of great attention for incredible kids. And I want to give a special shout out to Hani and Mary Gross of Baltimore, who have completed their Incredible Kids chart. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it was in last week's episode. The homework was to print out a chart and work on it every day to build our resilience. So go back to last episode and look in the show notes and you can access the chart there. Hani and Mary, you must feel very proud of yourselves. Also, for any of our incredible listeners who are going to sleepaway camp for the second part of the summer, you can listen to our homesickness episode, which was episode 11, which a lot of our listeners found to be very, very helpful before leaving to camp first half. And of course, anybody who's meeting new people, make sure to tell everyone about Incredible Kids. Shabbos afternoon, schmooze about it with your friends.
Tell all your friends, your brothers, your neighbors.
In camp, after camp, on the phone with camp friends, you have something in common with kids all around the world. So give us a like on Spotify or wherever you're listening and make sure to rate and subscribe and reach out to me and you can be part of answering the questions. If you provide me with your email address, you can be an Incredible Kids Insider and get to be part of these incredible episodes. What's so great about Incredible Kids is that kids are reaching out to me with ideas of things they want to discuss on the podcast and things that they want to hear about from other kids. And through getting to know new kids, I realized that there's a tremendous amount of kids who are so spiritually connected to Hashem that we all really could learn from them. I can learn as an adult, you can learn from each other. And today we will feature two kids who have special ways of connecting to Hashem. Hashem made a world filled with nature and beauty and opportunities for us. We all need to stop sometimes and notice the beauty and the awesomeness of Hashem's creations. And for some kids, they get that feeling straight from learning Torah and being a Jew. And that's, for them, all they need to fuel their fire inside of them and continue their connection to Hashem. Today's interviews are with two totally different kids who do not know each other, but as I was talking to them, I saw so many similarities between the two of them. Like, they both had certain messages that came up in separate conversations that were so connected to each other in such a different way. And you will listen for yourself. I wonder if you'll notice the things that I noticed in talking with them. First, we have Sanel. Sanel is also known as Rav Sanel. And before you raise your eyebrows, I want to tell you that this kid is onto something. He has been preaching, sharing his love of Torah with his family, friends, classmates, teachers for the last couple years, and he is going to now share it with all of us. His thoughts on the world are next level, and his curiosity and his ability to ask questions is something that we all could learn from. Our next interview is with David. David is from Cleveland, Ohio, and I love that I interviewed him because it's at a time of the year where people are going on some family trips locally or maybe traveling to them. And these trips often include the beauty of nature. And if you can have David's approach to nature and the way he's so fascinated by wildlife, animals, the world around him, and he uses that as a tool to appreciate and recognize Hashem, your adventures and travels can become a way higher level experience. And I hope that all of us continue to be able to connect to Hashem in our own way, the way that we feel the most comfortable and connected and close with him. We asked our listeners, what do you love most about the world Hashem made for you? Here's what they had to say.
Hi, my name is Mindy, and I'm almost 9 years old. The thing I love most about the world Hashem created is that he gave me the ability to do lots of fun things, such as doing gymnastics and kayaking myself in the lake.
Hi, my name is Mary. I'm 9 years old, and the thing I love best about this world Hashem made for me is that there's food and drinks.
Hi, my name is Laya. I'm 6 years old, and the most thing that I like about the whole world is the sky that's so blue.
Hi, my name's Abby. Read these courses and I love the box.
My name is Moshe Ezra. I'm 7 years old. The thing that I like the most about the world that Hashem made is that he made all different types of food. If he didn't make all different types of food, I'd just have to eat all maybe like meatball and spaghetti all night. So that would be boring and disgusting and I'll get sick of it.
Hi, my name is Leia, and the thing that I love most about this incredible world Hashem made for me is that there are all types and stripes, and there's not just one type of person, because otherwise the world would be so boring.
Hi, my name is Chaya, and I'm 8 years old, and what I love the best that Hashem made on this world is all the animals.
Hi, my name is Kiwi. I'm 8 years old. My favorite thing in the world Hashem created for me are my friends, because I broke my elbow this summer, and my friends have been so nice and helpful to me.
My name is Sarah. I'm 2 years old. I love yummy food.
Hi, my name is Maytal, and I am 10 years old. What I love most about the world Hashem has created for me is that I am able to do mitzvahs to help everyone.
Hi, my name is Dahlia. I'm 11 years old, and my favorite thing about the world that Hashem created is all my family and friends, because they helped me learn and grow and be who I am today.
Hi, my name is Avi. I'm 6 years old. My favorite part that the world that Hashem made for me is people.
Hi, my name is Esther Leia. I'm 9 years old, and my favorite thing Hashem made for me is my family.
Hi, my name is Molly, and I'm 4 years old, and I love what Hashem created that leaves so I can quench alone.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. One thing I enjoy that Hashem created is my family, because I like spending time with them.
Let's get started on today's incredible interviews. First up, we have Rav Sanel. Wait till you meet him. He is a kid that is well beyond his years, and I can't wait for you to hear all his beautiful insights on Hashem and Hashem's beautiful world.
Hi, Sanel. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Marty.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us your nickname and just like anything you want to say about yourself?
So my nickname is Sanji.
Oh, okay.
I like not being like Rabbi Sanel. I like being a Rav Sanel.
Rav Sanel.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have to ask you a lot of questions about that, because most kids your size don't go by Rav or Rabbi. So how old are you?
I am 8 years old.
And where do you live?
I live in Atlanta.
That's in Georgia. Cool. Georgia. Georgia. Did you live there your whole life?
Yeah, my whole life.
And where do you come in your family? Are you the oldest, the youngest, or somewhere in between?
I'm the youngest of four kids. Being the youngest makes you not have to do so much work.
You don't have to do a lot of work?
Yeah.
I heard that you have a lot of very incredible thoughts in your mind a lot of times, and you love to share all these ideas with the whole world.
Yeah.
What is it that you love the most in the whole world?
Hashem.
Wow, that's a beautiful answer. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So basically, Hashem, he created the world, so we should love him.
So you love Hashem more than sports?
Yes.
Do you love Hashem more than your friends?
Yes.
Do you love Hashem more than your favorite food?
Yes.
Do you love Hashem more than camp?
Yes.
Wow. You must really love Hashem. So where did this love of Hashem come from? Like, did you always feel this way?
Yes.
Where do you think that came from?
It came from my loving of Torah.
So where did your love of Torah come from?
That's a hard question.
It is a hard question. I'm going to make you think, Rav Sanel. You're 8 years old, so how many years have you been learning Torah for?
If I count how long I've been in my mom's tummy, you learn inside your mom's tummy, you know?
Okay.
So then, Mom, how long have I been in your tummy?
Probably 9 months.
9 months.
9 months? Yeah, I've been learning for 8 years in 9 months.
for 8 years and 9 months? Because what happens in your mom's tummy? Like, why did you mention that?
You learn a bunch of Torah, and then the angel comes and it touches right here.
As I tap you on the lip, you will forget me.
Then it makes them.
That's why you have that little mark, and I have it too, and people have that mark because the angel tapped you on the lip. And then what happens after the angel taps your lip?
Then you forget all the Torah you learned in your tummy. Hashem wants you to learn a lot of Torah. He never wants you to stop. That's why he made you learn Torah.
But then why did the angel come and tap you on the lip?
So you can keep learning Torah.
But then why did he make you forget everything? Why do you think?
So you wouldn't know it, so you could keep learning.
I once heard that, like, when you learn it again afterwards, whatever the angel taught you when you're in your mommy's tummy, it's like, oh, yeah. When you understand it, it's because it's the second time you're really learning it.
Yeah.
So 8 years and 9 months. Okay, good. So now, what kind of Torah do you like to learn?
I like to learn, like, Torah, like, let's say something cool happens and then something, like, weird happens.
Like Parsha stories?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's a cool example of a Parsha story that makes it feel really awesome to hear?
Picked up with his one finger, the rock on
Yaakov?
Yeah.
When he picked up, right, with one finger, you're using your pinky. He picked up the rock and, like, one finger. That's a cool story.
Cool.
Yeah, That was cool. So what do you do with that information?
Then I take videos and I tell it to other people.
So you video yourself saying stories of the Parsha that you thought were cool.
Yeah.
And then you share them.
With all my loving fans.
Your mother told me that a lot of older women like your videos, like older ladies.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do they like your videos so much?
Because I'm young, and when people are young and they teach other people stuff, it makes the older people feel good.
It's a very special thing, and I'm happy that we're talking about this because it's very important for young children and younger people to get to know older people, and they inspire each other. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Older people inspire younger people with their life stories. And if you talk to old people about their lives, it's very interesting and they like to share different things. I actually saw a picture of you with a very old man who survived a war.
Yeah, I just saw a picture in Israel.
You took that picture in Israel? What did you talk about with the old man? Did you talk to him about anything?
Yeah, I said hi. And then I said, how's your work?
Does he still work? He looked like he was like 95.
He still works.
Wow, that's amazing. So it was so nice that you were so respectful to him and you even said hi. Kids should not be scared of older people.
Older people are just younger people that has grown up.
This is true. I never thought about it like that. Although sometimes I do look at old people and I try to imagine that they were a baby.
Yeah, me too.
So Rav Sana, let's get right to it. I want everybody to hear the pure 8-year-old Rav Sanel best Torah thought that you could think of right now. Like, what's on your mind?
Right now?
Yeah.
A crazy thing you'll never imagine what I'm thinking about.
Well, I am so excited because I love crazy things.
Okay, so it's going to be kind of like a question to you.
All right,
so
shoot.
What if you take a rocket and you keep going up to the sky, wherever you could get?
If I take a rocket and I go up to the sky, outer space.
What if you keep going?
Farther out in outer space.
What if you keep going?
Maybe to a different universe?
What happens if you go 1,000 miles per millisecond?
You'll go very fast, but you'll still be in outer space.
Yeah. Well, it's like a weird thought. Like, there's no, like, box, no nothing.
It just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes forever.
Yeah, it never stops. Only Hashem can do that.
The one and only Hashem.
Our human minds can't think of anything about that.
Why are you thinking about that now? That's such a brilliant thought.
I learned it with my dad.
Keep learning with your dad and it's going to grow your mind to new heights, just like that one. To new heights, to new rocket heights, right?
Yeah. I learned Bala Kama.
Already?
Yeah, I do in camp.
What camp do you go to?
Year 5.
Okay, you want to hear a fun fact?
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I spent 3 summers at Camp Shamayim in Atlanta, right near your house. And Moradina was the head of the camp, and she still is the head of the camp. And the reason why I became a kindergarten Mora was because of Moradina. And I think you know Moradina, don't you?
Yeah, because she was my kindergarten teacher.
And she's like the best kindergarten teacher in the whole world. So you're very lucky that you got her as your kindergarten teacher.
you taught me stuff, and you're supposed to, like, respect people that teach you stuff. Like, you don't just stand up for your rabbi, you stand up for people that teach you stuff. Or, like, let's say my dad, he always teaches you stuff. Then you should stand up for him when he comes into the house or something.
Do you do that? You stand up for your dad?
Sometimes.
It's really hard to remember, but that is really remarkable.
Also, you know about this little mark in here?
Back to the conversation about the angel when he taps your lip?
Yeah. What happens to non-Jews? Like, do they
have that
open?
It's a good question because they have it too. Yeah, yeah. Everyone has it.
Wait, so they do learn Torah?
I guess so. The whole story with the angel tapping your lip is a medrash. You know what a medrash is?
Yeah.
It's a way of explaining the Torah according to certain rabbis. And according to that medrash, it would seem that everybody does. Because if you look around, I mean, people have that indentation above their lip, under their nose, right?
Yeah, because a lot of people, even non-Jews, believe in Hashem.
Yeah, exactly. And when Mashiach comes, do you know what's going to happen?
What?
We say in the Torah, Mal'ah ha'aretz de'az Hashem. The whole land is going to be filled with the knowledge of Hashem. Even the non-Jews will recognize that Hashem is the king.
Yeah. Mashiach, Mashiach, Mashiach. But why didn't Hashem just make it Mashiach in the first place? Oh, I know. Because he wanted people to learn a lot of Torah.
And maybe also to work on themselves, to become better people. Because if we were born perfect, then what's the point of us doing anything? Yeah. So tell me why you go by the name Rav Sanel.
Because my videos, whenever I do them, it's like I'm teaching people like stuff. So some people actually call me Rabbi Sanel, like they're Rav.
Do your friends call you that?
No. I don't know why, but a lot of seventh grader girls like say, hey, Rabbi Sanel.
Well, after this interview, there's going to be thousands of kids that are going to refer to you as Rav Sanel. So I hope you're okay with that. What I also think is really cool about you is that you think for yourself and you're asking such good questions. And it's so important for kids to understand the beauty of asking questions. Like, it's so important to open your ears and open your mind to learning new information from your teachers, your parents, and the world around us. But it's also equally important to ask good questions. That's how you're going to grow bigger, faster, and stronger. Who do you ask the most questions to?
My dad.
What about in school? Now, do you have teachers that listen to your questions?
Yeah. In kindergarten, Moradina, she told me I was the best student she had ever had. That's the most dedicated to Torah.
That's the most dedicated to Torah?
Yeah.
Wow. What a beautiful compliment. How did you feel when she told you that compliment?
She didn't tell me. She told my parents.
Well, when your parents told you, how did you feel?
I felt really good about myself and I should keep learning. But then I'll become even better.
Because when you feel good about yourself, you want to continue so that you can continue that feeling and then grow more.
Like, let's say you have a whole life and it like all starts over and now you're like a baby again. You don't want to do it all over. But when you get higher up, you feel like you could keep doing it.
What do you mean by that?
Like, let's say I'm like 29 years old and I'm like super good at Torah stalling. And then I take a time machine and go back until I'm like born. And then you don't want to do everything all over again. Because you feel like you'll never get as high as you used to be. When you're
That's
high,
a very interesting
like,
thought.
Yeah, because when you're like good at stuff, you can keep doing it. But when you're not like good at stuff, I feel like you're never going to be so good.
So what do you do when you feel like you're not good at something? Because I'm sure there's some things that are hard for you.
Then you just keep trying. You'll never know
if you never try. A lot of kids your age don't really think about these topics so much. Everybody, if you ask them, are you proud to be a Jew? Hopefully they would say yes. I'm going to ask you now if you're proud to be a Jew. And all the kids listening could listen to why Rav Sanel is proud to be a Jew. It's a really cool thing.
We'll be right back to this episode after a word from our sponsor. Are you ready to dive into a world of colorful flowers and endless imagination? Let's talk about Winterwood florals. Imagine having your very own garden, never needs to be watered, never needs sunlight. That's exactly what Winterwood florals offers. They're based in Baltimore, but they ship beautiful handmade faux floral, that means fake floral, arrangements all across the country. I know what you're thinking, fake flowers? But they're not even real. Well, guess what? These flowers look so real to the touch. It's like having a secret garden inside your own home. And the best part, my little buds, is that you get to be the boss of your own floral kingdom. You could choose the vase, the colors, and the flowers. You get to make your own bouquet. Need a special gift for someone special? Winterwood Florals has got you covered. Imagine their faces lighting up when they receive a one-of-a-kind arrangement made with love by you. And let me tell you about the owner, folks. She's like a flower whisperer. She knows all the secrets to making your floral dreams come true. You'll feel like you're working with a magical fairy who can make any wish blossom into reality. So, whether you want to bring some flower power to your dining room or surprise someone with a gift straight from the heart, Winterwood Florals is there for you. Check out Winterwood Florals on Instagram. And for all of us who are not on Instagram, you can message 410-984-6766 today. All this information can be found in the show notes. Get ready to create a floral masterpiece and let your creativity bloom. And now, back to Sanel. So Sanel, tell me, why are you proud to be a Jew?
I'm proud to be a Jew because you get all these mitzvahs to do. You get more stuff than other people are going to do. You get to do mitzvahs. You get to have a shem. You get to have holidays, extra holidays.
Right, holidays. You get to
have, you get to have camp.
Jewish camp. So what's your relationship like with Hashem? Do you talk to Hashem?
Once I went to Israel and I went to the wall and I wrote a note.
By the Kotel?
Mm-hmm. I was 7 years old, so I didn't know how to write so well.
But Hashem understands whatever you wrote.
Yeah. I wrote Hashem, thank you for everything. And then I forgot what else I wrote.
That's so beautiful. You weren't even like asking for anything. You were just there to thank Hashem.
Yeah.
That's really, really special.
Wait, people ask for stuff?
Yeah. I mean, you have to go back to Israel now. Basically, people write anything they want. Anything that you would say to Hashem when you're davening or just anytime you want. Like you could talk to Hashem right now and ask Hashem for anything. So anything you want to say to Hashem, the Kotel is just the holiest place that we have right now on this earth until we have the Beis HaMikdash.
Wait, why do you go to the wall if, like, you could just, like, stay home and give a note to Hashem, make a note for Hashem?
You could talk to Hashem or daven to Hashem wherever you live. You don't have to be by the Kotel, but it just happens to be a very holy place. So there's something holy about being in that spot. But, of course, there's people who never go to Israel because it's expensive and it's far, right? So It's a very special thing. Like you're very lucky that you went to visit Israel, but there's many children that never went and hopefully they'll go soon, but they could dive in for anything. So when you were in Israel, did you feel closer to Hashem?
Yeah.
Tell me about that experience.
This thing in Israel gives you a good thought.
You have special thoughts?
Yeah.
Did you know that the air actually in the land of Israel and Eretz Israel makes you smarter? Did you feel like that was true while you were there?
Yeah. It felt like I was like in Mashiach already. Yeah.
Wow.
It just feels so good to be in Israel.
It's cool that you felt that way already. What's the first thing you're going to do when Mashiach comes?
I'm going to go to Hashem and say, Hashem, you are the best. And I'm going to like bow to him a bunch of times.
You're going to bow to him 100 times. You know that you can't see Hashem, though.
Yeah, I'm just going to bow to the Torah.
Or You could just say thank you, Hashem, on top of your lungs and he'll listen because he's always listening.
Yeah. Or you could just like don't have to scream it.
That would actually make more sense because since Hashem's listening anywhere, you don't need to scream it. So how do you think we could get kids to become more excited about learning Torah the way that you are? I want all kids to feel this way about Hashem and Torah. How can we get them on board?
Okay, this is the first thing you gotta do. You gotta read them a really, really cool parsha. And then you gotta teach them a little bit about the parsha.
You have to act it out?
Yeah, and then keep doing it. And then they'll be like the best Torah scholars.
So you become a Torah scholar by learning parsha and acting it out?
Yeah.
That's a good way to become a Torah scholar. Are you encouraging that parents should act it out to the kids or kids should come home and act out what they learned?
Kids should act out what they learned. And then the adults, they also tell them if they made a mistake and then they keep doing it until they get everything right.
Wow. Kids need to get excited about Parsha stories. And when they get excited about Parsha stories, like by acting it out and getting into it, then they're going to become a Torah scholar, right? Like a Talmud Chacham. That's a really good idea. What would you say about kids who have a hard time like understanding about Hashem? Because we can't see Hashem. We don't hear Hashem. How could kids get excited about Hashem?
You teach them all about him. You teach them, first of all, you have to teach them stuff.
So you teach them. Rabbi Sanel, Rav Sanel, you teach the kids.
Okay, people that might be older than me, kids. Hi, guys. If you don't know, who Hashem is, what Hashem can do, what Hashem makes, you just gotta ask, a teacher, a mora, and then you'll learn anything. Or just ask more Siri.
This is true. I am happy to be a resource for anybody who has questions. I am a mora for all of the kids who are listening now. I'd like to think that I could be considered their teacher. But everybody does have real life teachers in person. So when you go to school or your parents are like teachers or your shul rabbi is like a teacher, anyone that can teach you something can be your teacher. So ask anybody.
Yeah.
That's really beautiful. Did you ever ask a question to your shul rabbi before?
No.
Do you go to shul on Shabbos?
Yes.
Because last night when I was asking your mother a question, I wanted to prepare you about something for this interview. I said to your mom, is Rav Sanal sleeping? And she said, you'll never believe it. He's in shul. What were you doing in shul last night?
I was davening.
You go to daven Maariv?
Yeah.
Are you like the only kid your age in shul?
Yes. I daven 3 times a day.
That's very holy. What are you davening when you go to shul?
Sometimes I daven Maariv. Sometimes I daven Modai. And then I daven Matovu.
Do you say Shemona Esrei? Did you learn that already?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, it sounds like that's a very special way of connecting to Hashem.
Yeah.
What do you think about in your mind when you're saying the words?
I think about Hashem and all of his holiness.
Mm-hmm. What do you imagine when you're thinking of holiness? Like what thoughts are going through your mind?
Thoughts going through my mind is what every person is doing mitzvahs, and then I see the holy temple getting more bricks and more bricks.
All those images are in your brain when you're saying the words of the davening?
Yeah, but the most holiest part that I think of is when I'm saying Shema.
Wow. Yeah.
It's when I close my eyes like this, then I the only thing you should be thinking about in that is thinking about Shema.
Full concentration.
Yeah.
Wow. Because Shema is the holiest tefillah.
Yeah.
Shema, Shema Yisroel, know that there is but one God above.
Did you know in Israel, I gave a lot of people shekels, old poor people shekels?
No, I didn't know that. That's really nice. Tzedakah.
Yeah. I gave it to my dad so he could hold it for me. Whenever I saw a poor person, he gave me a shekel and I gave it to the poor person.
Wow, that's so nice. Because it's you're actually giving it straight to the person who's going to use it because they need it so badly.
Yeah.
Makes the mitzvah much more real, right?
Yeah.
Wow, that's very beautiful. Is Rav Sanal going to grow up to be a Rebbe, a Rav, a Rosh Hashiva?
My hope for the future is that everybody should be Torah scholars and everybody should be better and no one should be bad or something.
Well, what about for your future? What are you going to do?
You know, Gadol means big.
Gadol means big, yeah.
Yeah. So I thought that instead of being you could be a Gadol, I'd be a big Talmid Chacham. I'd be a Gadol Talmid Chacham, a big Talmid Chacham.
So that's your plan?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have teachers who asked you, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you answer? You say a Talmud Chacham?
Yeah. Some of my teachers in TSA, some of them are not Jewish. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So then how do you explain it to them?
They've never asked me that question.
Let's say you have a teacher named Mrs. Catherine Johnson, and she says, oh, son, a little boy, with her Atlanta Southern drawl, Hey, y'all, we want to know what you want to be when you grow up, hon. What would you say?
I kind of say, I don't say a rabbi. I say, a good person.
Everyone can understand that.
Yeah.
You could also say you're doing biblical research. Put that in your back pocket for later. This has been a really, really incredible interview because I feel like I'm talking with somebody who's so many years older in your brain because you're thinking so much and you're thinking in such broad, lofty terms, like a rocket ship.
Liftoff will start in T-minus 10 seconds.
So I love that. And I want kids to be inspired to think. And I want kids to be inspired to ask questions and to learn how to love Hashem and love Torah and spread mitzvot wherever they go, just like you.
Everybody, you should learn a lot and a lot of Torah.
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 Do you like to sing?
Not so much.
What are your hobbies that you have? I want the kids to understand that you're a normal kid. Like, you don't walk around the whole day just like talking about, do you? I don't know. But do you walk around the whole day just being like, this happened in the Torah and Hashem is great, like wherever you go?
I'm just a normal kid that learns Torah.
That's beautiful. What do you do with your friends?
Play games with them. Sparkle, Blitz.
I like that one.
I have a lot of games, like a lot of them.
So last message to your whole audience. What do you want to say?
If you don't have like a lot of brothers, sisters, you still have a lot of them. Because Hashem created the world and He created everybody. So everybody, you just should believe in Hashem. Your brothers and sisters, if you ever feel alone, you really have a lot of brothers. You're just in one room with a lot of people. But the world is like one room. So never feel alone.
Because who are the brothers that you're talking about? Is that all the Jews?
Yeah, because Hashem is like the father, and we are all the children of Hashem.
And together, we're called Am Yisrael, right?
Yes, Am Yisrael.
Because I believe in Hashem, I trust in Hashem, then never is a moment when I'm all alone and I'm on my own. I believe and I trust in Hashem.
I hope I can be here.
Oh, this was so fun. It was such a pleasure. And I hope I can meet you in real life. Like, if you ever come to Baltimore, I would love to meet you. And I'd love for my kids to meet you. They saw all your videos and they love them. You have to make more of them.
I just want to tell you the Parsha Korach.
Parsha's Korach? Okay, what did you want to say? Mm-hmm. You just want to say that it was Parsha's Korach? I do want to tell you that the Parsha of Korach and the Parsha of Balak, these Parshas are in the summer. And I always think like, it's such a shame. Some kids don't learn the Parsha so well in the summer. And like the summer Parshas are amazing. There's like stories of talking donkeys and like the ground opening up to swallow the bad guys. Such lessons to learn about like not complaining and not being jealous. And I hope everybody's learning Parsha even though they're not in school.
I know. My favorite one is, you know, the donkey when it's talking.
Crazy. So how do you feel when you hear stories like that?
You have like this tingle inside of your body. Mm-hmm. It feels weird.
Interesting. I think you mean like the chills. Like sometimes when I get inspired by something, sometimes I cry because I'm a little emotional like that. But sometimes I just get the chills, like my body gets freezing. Even sometimes I read like a book to my kids or to my students and like the story just so meaningful to me that like I just feel, oh my gosh, that was so, right?
Well, Siri, I have another question. Let's say you take a bite of something really, really cool, like ice cream. Then you get the chills. Mm-hmm.
What's your question? That was the question? Let's say you take a bite of ice cream and you got the chills. Are you asking if it's like a normal thing?
No, like, what if it doesn't happen?
What if you eat ice cream and you don't get cold?
No, taking a bite of it, like with your teeth.
What if your teeth are not sensitive to the ice cream?
Yeah, if you take a bite of the ice cream.
Yeah, that's really uncomfortable. That's not usually recommended.
So what if that doesn't happen? Like, what if you don't get
Then you could eat ice cream with your teeth. Yeah, we're going to end off on that thought. It's a deep thought. We're going to end off on that. It's a good thought. And I think I'm going to go get some ice cream because it's a hot day outside here in Baltimore. It's like 100 degrees. And I'm sure in Atlanta, it's like 100 a million degrees, right? No, not actually.
No.
It's hot there, right? Let's go get some ice cream and beat the heat. Okay. Bite in with your teeth and let me know if you got the chills. Okay, I'll do the same and be in touch. Bye, Rav Sana.
Bye.
It's showtime.
Welcome, young explorers, to another exciting adventure with nature. Today, it's all about you as we embark on a special journey to connect with Hashem through the wonders of nature and your curious minds. Put on your explorer's hats and let's get started.
Hey, have you ever wondered how we could feel closer to Hashem? Well, one way is by exploring the amazing world He created. Let's take a walk through the forest to see what we can find.
Look, everyone, you see all those flowers? They come in so many different colors. Each one is made from Hashem. It's like He's showing us His creativity through these flower blossoms.
Wow, they're like Hashem's artwork, and we get to admire it. Oh, listen. Do you hear that melody? It's the birds singing their hearts out. Hashem gave them these unique voices to fill the world with music. Just like the birds, we can connect with Hashem by expressing ourselves through songs, davening, and gratitude.
I love to sing. It's like having a conversation with Hashem through music.
And what about the stream bubbling away? It's like a never-ending source of life. Hashem made water to keep us alive. We can connect with Hashem by appreciating this gift.
Nature guide, how does water help us connect with Hashem?
Great question. Water is essential for life. And when we see how Hashem provides it for us, we can feel His love and care for His creations.
Whoa, did you hear that thunder? It's like Hashem's way of saying, I'm here. Hashem is powerful and mighty. But remember, He's also loving and caring. Just like a parent, we can connect with Him by asking questions and seeking His guidance.
Nature God, what does thunder happen?
Excellent question. Thunder is caused by lightning, which happens when there's a buildup of electrical energy in the clouds. It's Hashem's way of reminding us of His immense power and that we should always turn to Him for guidance and protection.
Did you even know that laughter helps us connect with Hashem?
He gave us the gift of humor. And when we laugh, we're sharing joy and spreading love, just like Hashem does. So let's find reasons to giggle and make others smile.
I can't stop laughing. It feels like Hashem's tickling my heart.
That's true. Laughter is a special language that brings happiness to everyone.
As our adventure ends, let's take a minute to feel the gentle breeze on our faces. It's like Hashem's way of giving us a hug. He's always with us just like the wind, even if we can't see Him.
I feel so peaceful. It's like Hashem's love is surrounding us.
Absolutely. Hashem's love is always present. And when we connect with nature, we can feel His presence even more sometimes. Well, that's all the time we have for today, young explorers. You did an incredible job sharing your thoughts and questions about connecting with Hashem in nature. And remember, keep exploring, keep asking, and keep connecting with Hashem through His incredible creations. I now present to you our second interview with David. David is going to talk about his really cool travels and adventures around the world, really. And you're going to hear how he takes those travels and adventures in nature and really, really connects everything back to Hashem. And it's so beautiful, and I can't wait for you to experience it along with me.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, we're live. David, can you introduce yourself to all the listeners?
Hi, I'm David. I'm 7 years old.
Where are you from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
This is our first interview with a Clevelander. Welcome to the state of Ohio. Were you born in Ohio?
I was there for my whole life.
Your whole life. Okay, all 7 years. Baruch Hashem. Tell us a little bit about what you like to do and a little bit about your personality.
I like doing sports. I like sleepovers.
So that's really fun. Okay, so David. Today on Incredible Kids, our topic is about kids who have experiences that help them connect to Hashem. Hashem is our king. Hashem is everything. Sometimes we forget to take a moment to stop and say, whoa, look what Hashem does for us. You and your family have the unique experience of getting to see so many wonders in the world. You've been to really cool places, have you?
Yeah, I do books for them. I like putting like picture books.
Like a photo book?
Yeah, like a photo book.
When you look at them, it helps you remember what happened. I know. Even if you were like 2 years old when you went to the place, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. Even if like maybe you don't actually remember it because like it's impossible.
Yeah. Right?
Tell me some of the cool places that you've been to.
Hawaii, Yellowstone, Maine.
Hawaii, Yellowstone, Maine. And what about like in the Central America, South America area?
Costa Rica and Honduras.
Wow, that's really cool.
We started when I was just born.
So you've been doing this for a while. So you probably don't even know how many times you've been on an airplane.
Yeah. Sometimes you go to like Detroit, like where my Bobby lives, and to just like use a car. I don't think we ever used a plane.
From Cleveland to Detroit. Yeah, you wouldn't need a plane for that. But if you're going to like Costa Rica or Yellowstone, then I would imagine you would fly, right?
Yeah, I always fly to like far places away. Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite part about traveling by plane?
I get to like look out the window when we're like about to land, because then you see like all the stuff down there.
Land ho!
Do you always get the window seat?
Yeah, basically every time.
Is that something that your siblings also want, or it's like yours?
No, it's like mine. Like nobody cares about it.
Nobody cares? No. Okay, go. Amazing.
Yeah. Can't sleep on a plane at all. I could sleep like for 1 hour, literally, only that.
It's just, very hard. It's hard to get comfortable on the plane, like enough to fall asleep.
Yeah. You need like the seat to like go down, like all the way down. You need like a blanket, your feet to be like rested on something.
I'm the same way on the airplane. I need to be very comfortable till I fall asleep. You know, like sometimes you see people on the plane and they're like, psst. And you're like, how did you fall asleep so fast? Like, hello? What was the longest plane ride you ever went on?
Sometimes I've been on like 3 planes in 1 flight. Like,
right.
I can't like land, fly all the way. Like, yeah. So sometimes like that could be like 5 hours or something like that.
Yeah. Have you ever been to Israel?
Israel, yes. Like 3 times.
Wow. So that's a really long flight.
Yeah. Israel looks like 1 day.
Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Okay. So especially if you're stopping.
Yeah, especially if you're stopping. It gets me, like, really annoyed because sometimes when I go, I think, like, it was Chicago or New York. I went and the plane couldn't go because it stopped because the people didn't want to go in the rain. But basically, every time we booked a flight to go on the plane, it didn't work out.
That's so frustrating. And it's very, very frustrating when you're stuck on a plane and you can't go anywhere. It's like you just want
to
leave.
Because, like, when you're about to go and it's, like, so long, like, you're just like, actually, I don't want to go here.
Literally. Then once you're there, you're like, okay, I'm happy I came.
When you're there, you're tired. So then you're, like, annoying and, like, you want to go to sleep. Then after that, when, like, you're in the morning, like, you, like, actually, like, see where you are. You're like, it's, like, so cool to be there because you don't live there.
Right. So it's so cool to be there because you don't live there. You're from Cleveland. On a regular day in Cleveland, do you see, like, monkeys and wolves, like, walking around outside?
No.
No, it's a silly question because obviously not.
Yeah, so, like Costa Rica, there was like monkeys. We were able to feed them, but then I was the only one that didn't get to feed them. Basically, everybody else got to feed them, but I was the only one.
Did you want to feed them?
Like, I did.
Why didn't you get to feed them?
Because like monkeys are monkeys. Like they don't know how to talk actually. So like, yeah, they just be like, I'm holding it up like. And like, yeah. And they were like on the roof and like also like, yeah. So I was like,
you're saying monkeys are monkeys because you're like, I came all the way here and I want to feed you and you're like not cooperating.
I know. Like I'm like holding my like hand up like literally to like give them like food. And I'm just like, yeah.
The nerve, right?
Yeah.
The nerve of those monkeys. Cut out the monkey business. You ever heard that expression?
No.
Monkey business is like what you say like if kids are like goofing around. You say like, cut out that monkey business.
No more monkeys. Jumping on the bed.
You can imagine why that's an expression because like monkeys are like cuckoo, right? What I think is very cool about the fact that you have been to all these places is that you live in Cleveland. It's a nice area. Hashem made a beautiful world. So it's beautiful wherever we are. We can find the beauty in nature. But Hashem made these rainforests and Hashem made mountain ranges and volcanoes and islands and so much out there that me and you, we don't get to see that every single day. It's really cool that you do get to see it and Hashem did create all of it. And most kids don't get to see that. Maybe when they're older, they'll travel and see it. So I want you to share as if you're telling a story to me and all the kids and the families listening about what it's like to be on an adventure in Costa Rica.
We were like in a rainforest. There was like trees like all around us. There was like monkeys like hanging on trees. We were able to like tear monkeys.
What other animals did they have there?
We actually saw a toucan.
Oh, a toucan bird. Oh, those are beautiful. Yeah. They have what's special about toucans?
Well, they have like rainbow mouse,
a beautiful beak, right?
Yeah,
the shape of their beak is like a curve that kind of gets funky at the end of it. Did you get to see them close up, the toucans?
Toucans, no, because like when we're going to zip line, the first like round, like just like on the tree, like hanging out. So, like, yeah,
you just see them from far and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. It's like I'm in a zoo, but it's not a zoo.
I know, it's like same thing in Yellowstone. In Yellowstone, there was like literally like animals all around. So, the first time I saw like an animal, whoa, that's not usual. So, like,
which animals did you see in Yellowstone?
I saw a lot of bison. That's like probably most animals. So I was like so big.
Mm-hmm.
They had that packs.
Bison looks like a big, like a big cow?
Like a cow. It's just like very big.
Giant,
like,
could okay. Be,
yeah.
Did you see any wolves? Yeah.
They weren't like trained yet. So like they were like running around cars. We almost crashed into a wolf. So yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow, that's crazy. Uh-huh. Did you go like on a tour or you just like travel and explore everything on your own?
We like went on a tour.
That's cool. Yellowstone is mainly in what state?
Wyoming.
Wyoming, yeah. So that's like one of the states that like are pretty far out and not close to where from people normally live, right?
I know, yeah.
So was there any like kosher food there?
I don't know because we were like in there, but we weren't like actually like in that part.
Like you were like, because you were traveling, but you weren't in a city where there was like stores.
Yeah.
You probably brought all your own food.
Yep.
Tell me about the most beautiful place that you've been to. What's the first place that comes to mind?
I don't know. I could say like, how about this? Yellowstone, yeah.
What was beautiful about it? Explain to me like what was the beauty that you saw?
Yellowstone, we like saw a lot of animals. There was like wildlife. We were basically like at a zoo before they were captured.
Right. So you're saying it was like in nature. You got to experience and be one with nature. Like you were part of it. You were part of the animals and the hiking. Do you do a lot of hiking?
I like climb tombs. Changed my life basically, so yeah.
So that's a yes or a no?
That's a yes. I climbed one mountain without any help. I climbed another mountain without any help again.
Just like real hiking where you're like
hiking, like you're like hiking, like it's not like actually up a mountain. It's like you're
like a trail.
Yeah, like a trail, but like a mountain.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, like, how do you feel when you're hiking and you're deep in nature with your sneakers on and everything? Like, how does that make you feel?
I don't know. It feels like I just like look around because I've never seen this.
Mm-hmm. So you're like in a state of wonder?
Yeah.
So when you come back from these trips, do you share about it with other friends of yours that didn't go with you? You know, like your friends from school?
If it's like really like cool, I do. Stuff that nobody like really sees. Yeah, I would.
Right. When you're in nature in these places, so you said Yellowstone was the most beautiful. Did you see any sunsets? Like what was so beautiful about it?
In the morning, like it was freezing, but like it changed. We were like wearing like a jacket for like some of the time and then we stopped. It was getting hotter.
Was it like winter or summer?
Like in between.
So what did you see that you were like, I need to take a picture of this?
We saw like a moose. We saw like bison. But like the cool thing, like the first pack that we see, like it's like a regular neat pack. We would like take a picture.
Like a cool pack of animals together.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're really into animals.
Yeah, I am.
Did you get more into animals after you went to these places or you were always into animals?
Yeah, I did. I like a snake, but like I don't like them to see them like actually.
It's, like, no, no. Stay away. Not when you're hiking, right?
Yeah, not when I'm hiking because like they're not trained. Like not at all.
In the wild, that would be pretty dangerous. You mentioned before that you went to the Honduras. The Honduras is also like a Spanish-speaking country.
Hola, ¿hay alguien ahí?
Somewhere underneath the United States. It's called Central America. In between North America and South America is Central America. So tell me what was cool about that experience because I personally don't know people who have ever been there before.
It's like cool.
Is it similar to Costa Rica?
Yeah, it's close to Costa Rica. It was also very freaky because we were like going like to a beach and we like had to take a boat. It took like really long. I felt like the boat was going to like flip over.
That's
it was
so scary.
Like, I know.
And
we saw one sloth there.
In the Honduras, you saw a sloth?
Yeah, it was like in the wild actually.
Did you get to go close to it?
No, we were like on like a boat, so we weren't able to.
So you were boating through what area was it?
Looked like somewhere like creepy, like it wasn't really like waves, it was just like there was rock.
Sounds like you would have preferred to just like be maybe back on Yellowstone.
Yeah.
We'll be right back to hear the rest of David's story after a short break.
Hey, incredible kids and families. Are you ready for a video streaming experience that's kosher, ad-free, and filled with fun? Introducing Yidflix for every member of the family. From Uncle Maishi's catchy tunes to the Shazak Parsha series, Yidflix has something for everyone. You could choose to pay per month or do it for the entire year. And here's the clincher. There will be no ads that pop up with something inappropriate that you don't want your kids seeing. And they update their content every single day, so you'll never run out of things to watch. Go to Yidflix.com, YIDFLICKS.com. Follow the link in the show notes and sign up today.
And now back to my conversation with David.
You mentioned that you've been to Eretz Israel, to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Can you share a memory that you had on one of your trips?
Yeah. Israel, it's like you're like near the Jews, like a lot near the Jews. Also, it's like boiling hot. So like if you take a walk from like somewhere very far, it can get like really hot.
Yeah. You've been to so many places. And then does it feel like you're going to like another destination, or like this is special because this is like our homeland?
Yeah, it feels way different too. Also, like when we get there, I feel like in the future, like I feel like in Israel and like from here, it's like morning, but like late in the night. It's like now it's like an afternoon here and like in Israel.
Oh, you mean like, right? Because there's a like, time difference. It feels like you travel to the future.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective because you went ahead. But then when you're coming home, it's like you went in a time machine backwards.
Yeah. Like it feels like I'm going like backwards. Literally, like the plane is going backwards.
Yeah, it's true. It is. When you're in Israel, do you feel connected to Hashem?
Yeah. When I'm at the Kosel. In the Kosel, like there's millions and millions and millions of notes.
Did you add in to one of the millions?
Yeah. I did. It's like weird because when you put it in the Kosel, like, you could ask for something for Hashem like every day. So, like it's like weird. Like, why are you putting a note in
it? So, you're saying it's interesting to you that people would put a note if you could just say it to Hashem whenever you want. Why do you have to go to Israel to put a note? Right. Well, do you talk like, to Hashem every day?
Well, like sometimes like when it's like very like confusing and yeah. Like when I'm lost like from my bunk in camp.
And then you use that time to talk to Hashem?
Well, like I'm like, Hashem, like where am I? Like I don't know where my bunk is.
Wow. Who taught you to do that? That's amazing.
I know, because, like, I heard like, people saying it. Not, like, actually saying, but, like, I know, like, you're supposed to do that when you're, like, yeah.
Right. You've seen adults say that before?
Not out loud. Like, I know that I'm supposed to do it if I'm, like, confused.
Do you say it out loud, or you say it, like, in your head, or, like, you whisper it? Like, what do?
In my head.
And you think, like, Hashem, please help me.
Like, I don't know where I am. Like, where's my bunk?
That's so beautiful. Does it make you feel better afterwards, like, when you do that?
Yeah, when I find my bunk, like, yeah, that really helped me.
Because you're talking to somebody. You're actually talking to somebody.
Yeah.
And the somebody is Hashem, who created you and cares about you more than anyone else in the entire world.
Well, he cares about everybody.
So when I look at nature, and when I look at something so big, like let's say I look at the ocean, and I'm like, wow, this is crazy. This is gorgeous. This is so majestic. Did you ever take the time to wonder how it all began? I still remember that there was one place in Israel that I went to many years ago. It's called Rosh HaNikra, and the water crashes against the stones and it just doesn't stop, and it's beautiful. And I remember thinking like, Hashem, it doesn't stop. It's just constantly making the water move. It makes me just like see the power of Hashem. Do you ever have that thought on any of your adventures?
I feel like it's like just like cool Hashem made it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's like cool.
When you see something, you're like, Hashem made this. It's the coolest thing.
Hashem made everything. So like everything you see, it's like when you're used to something, it's not like cool. Wow. Like, whoa. But like when you actually like see something cool and you never seen it, it's really cool. If you're swimming in this really huge and like there's like obstacles that you could do like in the water, it's like cool. Because, like, you've never been there, and I used to. You just, like you know when you're, like, somewhere in, like, a park and, like, it's, like, really cool? There's, like, so much stuff to do. And you're just, like, I go there first, or actually, no, I want to go there. Actually, I want to go there. Like, you, like, want to go everywhere first, but you don't know where to start.
So you're saying that, like, Hashem made a world with so much in it that, like, you don't even know what to look at first because it's all so cool.
I know.
Wow.
But if you're used to it, then, no, you just, like, don't even care.
100%. You hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Did you ever go snorkeling before?
Yeah.
Do you remember seeing, like, beautiful stuff underneath the ocean floor?
Yeah. I saw, like, a shark. I don't know if it was, like, a baby or real. So it's just like, can we get out of here?
Usually the sharks that swim in the coral reef where they take you are very harmless. Like they don't hurt you. They're considered gentle sharks. But I can see why that would freak you out a little bit. But did you see any like bright, colorful fish and stuff growing underneath?
Yeah, I saw a lot. Like I saw two turtles that were going together and they went like so like fast. Like
that's so totally cool, dude.
Like they went so fast.
That's really
so
cool.
Like, that's so cool, dude. Like, something so cool, dude.
Wow, that's really amazing. Can I be invited on your next adventure?
I don't know if you want to. Also, if my mother invites you.
It's okay, but I definitely want to hear about it. You're only 7. Imagine I interview you when you're 17. You know, Mirza Shem, you'll have a lot more experiences to talk about. What message do you want to tell kids about how they can connect with Hashem through nature wherever they are? Because like you said, sometimes we're so used to things that we don't stop to think, like, oh my goodness, look at this. It's so cool. Imagine you're wherever you live. What advice can you give to kids listening?
When you like see stuff like extra in nature, you could think to yourself that it's like so cool. How did Hashem make it? Even though Hashem's like Hashem. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you could like wonder about it and like get into that thinking mode.
Yeah.
Thinking mode activated.
What's an example of something that they should stop and think about?
When you like see birds, like you should think like, oh, Hashem made this. It's like so cool. Hashem made the birds. Hashem made bison. Hashem made a fish. So every time you see something, you should think to yourself, how did Hashem make it? It's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not even how did Hashem make it, but like why did Hashem make it?
Yeah, why?
Why do you think Hashem made it?
Because like Hashem wanted everybody to like see nature. Hashem didn't want everybody to be like bored. He wants people to like learn Torah, but like if you're like learning Torah all day and you get like bored of it, okay, fine, I'm ready to like daven like for the day. They're also gonna be bored. Like you should also like look at nature. You should wonder about it, like see how Hashem made it.
Hashem wanted us to enjoy. Hashem made us
like. Mm-hmm. Also, like, to say, like, to yourself, why did Hashem make it? And then, like, get yourself busy, like, with it.
Busy thinking about Hashem.
Yeah.
Wow. That is an amazing thought. You literally just turned that whole thing around in a circle. You got that?
Yeah.
It's like, why did this? Because then Hashem made it so that you could wonder. It's almost like, why do we, you know, do this at the Seder so the children should ask, right? Hashem wants you to be busy with enjoying life and then also connecting back with him. And it's like, we're people that need things to be pretty and we need things to be nice and interesting. Yeah.
Like imagine if there's nothing in the world, like only like the sea, and you're like walking around, like, and then you feel like I'm so bored, like what should I do, like or something. Like you won't even like have your mind on yourself, like,
it's, like right. You'll see people; they need to like have a conversation with somebody. They'll say, "Let's go on a walk through nature." Nature or, like, has like a way of making people feel calm, also.
Yeah.
Those are some really big thoughts to think about, but things that we could think about every single day, because who doesn't wake up and see a tree, right?
Like, yeah.
There's always things that you could explore that you probably haven't heard of before. Now everybody's family says, let's go on the airplane, we're traveling, you know? You really gave us such a beautiful perspective on life to think about, and I hope that you continue to enjoy the beautiful world Hashem made around us and think about it on your travels, think about it when you're learning Torah in Cleveland or wherever you are. And it will hopefully help your Torah learning be better. And then when you're in nature, you'll think about Hashem and the Torah and everything will come together.
Cool.
People are doing things with their family over the summer. And maybe they're going to go on a hike. Maybe they'll go somewhere to the beach, whatever. People will be places. And I hope that they're going to have your words ringing in their mind and ringing in their ears about appreciating Hashem's beautiful world that he made.
Yeah.
What's your next trip?
My next trip is, I forget what it's called. I think it's like somewhere like really cold, like
Alaska?
Yeah, Alaska.
Oh my goodness. So you're going to have to take out a different wardrobe than you did for Costa Rica, right?
Yeah, right.
Bundle up.
biggest coat in the world.
The biggest coat in the world. Well, it depends what time of the year you're going. You might not need like the warmest coat, but like still.
Yeah. Summer kitchen needs some, you go summer cold.
David, thank you so much and have a great, incredible rest of your summer. And remember, you're an incredible kid.
Bye.
And now it's time for homework. Ooh. Oh, come on, not that kind.
This week's homework is something that you can do for the rest of the summer. Since we're talking about a lot about Hashem's creations and the world he made and how we can see his beauty in nature and in Torah, be on the lookout through all your adventures, whether it's in your own neighborhood, it's got to be outdoors. Be on the lookout for a beautiful scene that makes you think, wow, only Hashem can do this. Wow, look what Hashem created. Look how powerful Hashem is. And take a picture of it. And send your wow moment of Hashem's creations to iKidsPodcast@gmail.com. And the photos that are sent in will be shared with you being the photographer behind it. Can't wait to see what you come up with over the next few weeks. Send them over to iKidsPodcast@gmail.com.
There are many episodes to listen back to if you're a new listener. And if you are an old-time listener from the very beginning, just a couple of short months ago, then please keep spreading the message of Incredible Kids Podcast with all your friends, camp, school, wherever you find yourselves this summer and beyond. And I can't wait to see you on our next episode, which is just around the corner. Have an incredible week.
Are you an incredible kid? Send your story to ikidspodcast@gmail.com.
Subscribe today to the Incredible Kids Podcast.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you are all
incredible kids.